All right, welcome back. In the previous module, we talked about the alternative ways to create a Linux virtual machine in Azure. Now, in this module 3, we are going to talk about VM extensions. VM extensions are software components that extend the virtual machine functionality and simplify various VM management operations like resetting the password of the VM, installing some roles or daemons or features to the VM. Multiple VM extensions can be installed on any given virtual machine, and they can be added, updated, and removed from the virtual machine independent of the lifecycle of the VM. That's really important and that's really neat. The status of the virtual machine and its extensions can be viewed and managed from a single location. So it's just a very easy way to help you with your management efforts. These extensions are authored, published, and supported by publishers who are registered with Microsoft. Every extension will carry the publisher information, so you will know who has developed and published the extension, and if you can just decide if you're trusting the code or not. Enabling virtual machine extensions has one simple prerequisite. Create an IaaS virtual machine by enabling the VM agent. Remember the VM agent we talked about in the previous module? It should be present in the Linux virtual machine if you want to use VM extensions. When you create a virtual machine from the portal or by using the latest Azure PowerShell, the VM agent is enabled by default. Unless you have manually disabled it, it will be there. So currently the VM extensions for Linux are the custom script extension, the VM access extension, and the OS patching extension. I'm going to talk about these three first, then we'll move on with the partner extensions. So for custom script, it's really handy. So let's say you want to install a feature or install Apache, for example, on a Linux virtual machine. So you can just build your own custom script and run this custom script in one of your Linux virtual machines in Azure remotely. So you don't have to log in to the Linux virtual machine. You will just access to your Azure account and run this custom script. I'm gonna show you a sample script about this. The second one is called VM access. Let's say you have just forgotten the password of a Linux virtual machine, or maybe the certificate, the SSH certificate on the virtual machine is somehow changed and you need to reset it, or maybe the SSH configuration itself is broken, so you want to just reconfigure it from scratch. So you can just use VM access to remotely access to this virtual machine and perform the operations such as resetting the password, resetting the configuration of SSH, or renewing or resetting the certificate for SSH. And the third one is OS patching. It enables you to schedule automatic updates for Linux VM. It's really a lightweight version of, you may think of like WSUS. So you can just coordinate the schedule and which updates to be installed by using this VM extension. It's also integrated with the portal, so you can just see the outputs of the script on the portal. So let's take a look how VM access works in real life. Let me switch to my Azure portal. Suppose that you have forgotten the password of a virtual machine, a Linux virtual machine running in Azure. That's one of the nightmares we IT pros have in our daily life, because the traditional process to recover this password is to shut down the VM, download the VM, and run it on Hyper-V to do the traditional password recovery operation for a Linux operating system. But what if there's a very critical application running on top of this virtual machine? So I don't have the luxury to shut it down, download, run it on premises, and try to recover. So by using the VMXS, VM extension, I can just do this remotely by running a basic PowerShell script. Let me show you the PowerShell script here. So I have to enter some information like what is the name of the virtual machine, what is the username of this virtual machine, and which password do I want to set. So I just enter the name of the virtual machine here, and I enter the new password to be set in here, run the script, and it will connect to the virtual machine, reset the password, and that's it. So let me double check my virtual machine name here. It's forgotten password. Suppose that I have forgotten the password of this virtual machine. So the name is here, and I want the password to be changed to MVI rocks exclamation mark. Let me switch to my PowerShell console here. So I'm gonna run this script. Right now it's accessing my virtual machine and deploying the script, running the script inside the virtual machine. So while this is being run, let me show you some other example. For example, you may want to reset the SSH configuration on the Linux virtual machine. Suppose that the configuration is just broken up and you just want to reset it to the initial configuration. You can just again use the VMXS extension to do this. Another option is to reset your SSH keys. Let's say you have to reset the certificate for your SSH connection, and you don't have to, and because there's a problem with the certificate, you're not able to connect to the virtual machine itself. So you can just use the VMXS extension remotely to reset your SSH keys. Switch back to my PowerShell account here. So it's deploying the extension. So in a couple of seconds, yes, the deployment is completed. So the password is now changed to MVI rocks exclamation mark. Let me try to see if it really worked. So I will connect to my virtual machine, forgotten password. I'm just copying the DNS name here to the PuTTY. Hit open. The username is AzureUser and the password is MVA rocks exclamation mark. And I'm in. So no matter if you don't remember the password, without a downtime, without shutting down the VM, without restarting the VM, you can just change the password for the account you want to. Another extension is called the custom script. I have an example here. So the custom script is also very useful. Let's say there is a virtual machine in your Linux account and you want to install the Apache server on it. So normally you would just connect to the virtual machine, use apt-get to, you know, install Apache and copy some files from other directories or other web servers to the www folder, that kind of things. So if you want to automate this, or if you want to do this remotely, you can just use the VM extensions as well. So let's take a look at a script. So again, it asks me a virtual machine, and then it just uses a simple shell script to install whatever I want. So this shell scripts, for example, first one is install Apache. Let me show you that script. So you can see it's just connecting to, actually, let me show that one. Yeah. It just connects to the virtual machine, starts a shell prompt, and then installs Apache, copies some HTML and PNG file to the Apache directory, and restarts the Apache daemon, so I will be able to run the website. So by just running the script, I can install Apache and copy the files in the Apache folder, and my website is up and running. This is of course not limited to only Apache. You can just install any feature or uninstall any feature or do any file operations in the Linux operating system by using the custom script, and it's, as you can see, it's really, really handy. So if you continue with the next extension, it's called OS Patching for Linux. So as I said earlier, you can just automate Linux updates by using this extension. So you can just say, I want to install this Linux patch in 10 of my Linux virtual machines running on top of Azure. It's just easy. Just write the script. The script is something like this, and it will connect to the virtual machine and install the updates depending on the information you have provided. Like if you want the server to be rebooted after patch automatically, you can just choose it here. You can just select the date, time, etc. So it's all in control of your hands. So currently we have custom script, VM access, and OS patching released by Microsoft. The upcoming ones are VM snapshot, snapshotting the virtual machine, VM monitoring to monitor information about your virtual machine, DSC, PowerShell desired state configuration. So you will be able to use desired state configuration to manage your Linux virtual machines as well as your Windows virtual machines, and the VM encryption. So to access the extensions, you can use PowerShell or the cross-platform CLI of Azure. So you can also use it in your Linux environment. You don't have to be using Windows. You can just use the cross-platform tools for Azure and use it in other platforms as well. And you can also use the extensions in Azure portal. Besides the extensions released by Microsoft, we have also extensions published, developed and released by our partners. The first example is Docker. So Docker is one of the most popular virtualization approaches that uses Linux containers rather than virtual machines as a way of isolating data and computing on shared resources. And it provides other services that enable you to build or assemble applications quickly and distribute them between other Docker containers. So I'm going to talk about what is a container in a minute. Docker and Linux containers are not hypervisors such as Hyper-V or KVM on Linux. Because hypervisors, they virtualize the underlying operating system to enable complete operating systems to run inside the hypervisor as if they were an application. Docker and other container approaches have radically decreased both the startup time needed and processing and storage overhead required by using the process and file system isolation features of the Linux kernel to expose only kernel features to an otherwise isolated container. So how to use a Docker VM extension with Azure? The Docker VM extension is a component that is installed in the virtual machine instance that you create, which itself installs the Docker engine and manages remote communication with the VM. There are two ways to install the VM extension. You can create your VM using the management portal, the Azure portal, or you can also create the image from the Azure cross-platform command line interface. You can use the portal to add the Docker VM extension to any compatible Linux VM. Currently, the only image that supports is the Ubuntu 14.04 LTS image. And any this image should be recent than the July image. Using the cross-platform command line, however, You can install the Docker VM extension and create and upload your Docker communication certificates all at the same time when you create a VM instance. So if you compare Docker or containers in general with virtual machines, you can see that for hypervisors, they are virtualizing the operating system. So on top of this virtualized operating system or guest operating system, you run your applications. But these applications, they don't share any binaries or libraries in common. And Docker or containers, they are isolated in terms of application data, but they share the operating system kernel. And where appropriate, the binaries and libraries of the operating system. So because of that, you're not deploying a new operating system to run applications on top of it, the deployment time is significantly faster. The overhead is much less compared to normal virtualization scenarios. And the migration is easier, as well as you can just restart the application in a very faster manner, because the operating system keeps working. So you don't restart the operating system itself, you just restart the application, or you just migrate the application. So if you're interested in Docker, let me show you how you can install the extension. So to be able to install the extension, you can use the portal, the new portal, Azure portal, or of course you can use the Azure cross-platform tools. So I'm going to show you the Azure portal method. So here I am in my portal. So I go to the virtual machines that are running in my account. So let's say I want to install the Docker extension in that virtual machine. I choose the virtual machine. The information about the virtual machine shows up here. If I scroll down, you can see the extensions tile here. So right now, no extensions are installed. So if I want to install an extension, you see no resourcing sessions found. I click on add here, choose Docker, and remember the custom script I have shown you. You can also add it using the portal. I chose Docker, just create, and it's going to ask me for some information, the certificates, because Docker uses certificates to make sure the connection between the Docker client virtual machine and the Docker engine has a secure connection. So I'm not going to show you how to create the certificates and install the extension into the virtual machine. It's very well documented on Azure portal. You can just find how to do it. But I am going to show you a very basic way to understand how Docker works. So in the Docker website, it's docker.com/try it, you can find a very good and easy tutorial to ramp up with what is Docker and how you can use it. It's completely interactive. So there's an emulator running here, so you can just learn how Docker works and what is containerization, what are images, what is the Docker Hub, that kind of thing. So I really recommend you to go to docker.com/try it and try the Docker engine without installing anything. So the idea is you can just use Windows Azure to run your Docker engine. So you can just remotely connect to your Azure account and start running containers on top of Azure. So it's really simple, it's really easy. If you need more information, we have a very good video on channel 9. Just search for Docker. And if you also search for Docker on Azure, if you Bing it, you are going to find a lot of resources. Again, if you need any help, just ping me on Twitter and I will walk you through the steps to use Docker in Azure. So going back to the slides, the second partner extension I'm going to talk about is Chef. So Chef is an extension developed by Chef. So currently it supports Ubuntu and CentOS VMs. If you are going to install the extension using the portal, only Ubuntu VMs are supported currently. So let's take a look at what is Chef. Chef turns infrastructure into code. With Chef, you can automate how you build, deploy, and manage your infrastructure. Your infrastructure becomes as a versionable, testable, and repeatable as application code. Chef relies on reusable definitions known as recipes. So Chef and recipe, you see the naming is also fun. And you use these recipes to automate infrastructure tasks. Examples of recipes are instructions for configuring web servers, databases, load balancers, etc. Together, recipes describe what your infrastructure consists of and how each part of your infrastructure should be deployed, configured, and managed. You can use Chef to manage Linux VM on Microsoft Azure and enjoy a consistent experience across all platforms. Chef is not limited to only Linux in Azure. You can also use Chef to deploy and configure Windows virtual machines, but Chef is also supporting Linux. So Chef's integration with the Microsoft Azure portal makes it very easy to configure. Chef helps you to migrate existing workloads to Microsoft Azure. So let's say you have some workloads running on premises and you're considering the options, the ways to move this, to migrate this to Linux, to Azure, sorry. So you can just use Chef to do this. With Chef, you can just quickly deploy in a way that's consistent, secure, and visible to all stakeholders. So this means your developer guys and your IT pro guys can work together. So the DevOps thing, we start to talk a lot about this. Please try to access the resources we are providing you about DevOps, developer operations. So these teams or all the stakeholders in your company can work together. Chef partnered with Microsoft to develop functionality that adheres to Microsoft best practices. So we are really working closely together to make sure these recipes, the deployment scenarios, configuration scenarios are in line with our and also Chef's best practices. So as a result of this effort as IT pros or as developers, you will find Chef to be a very natural fit. So let me show you some example Chef recipes. This one creates a storage account, named new account, in the region of your preference. So by using recipes like this, you can easily automate creating a storage account, or even, like in this example, a SQL server in Azure. By the username and password you have provided. So it's great for automation. It's great if you are going to use this often. You don't have to log into the portal, go through the options, choose SQL Server, on Windows Server, something, then start to, and it starts to deploy and you wait for the deployment to finish. You don't have to do any of this. If you need to automate it, You can just use recipes like this to have a very consistent way of doing things. Another benefit this provides is that it prevents human error. we are all humans. We, even if it's a very simple operation consisting four tasks, four steps, something may happen. You may be distracted. You may, your phone may ring. Your wife is just calling for an emergency, that kind of thing. So you may just skip doing the step two. You may miss doing the step two. So you have to be using some automation tool like the chef recipes to also prevent this, the room for human error. Another thing I want to talk about is called custom data and cloud init. So most of the time our customers ask how they can inject a script or other metadata into a Microsoft Azure virtual machine at provisioning. So while it's provisioning, the customers ask if it's possible to inject some script or some metadata. In other clouds, this concept is often referred as user data. In Microsoft Azure, we have a similar feature called custom data. Custom data is sent to the VM along with the other provisioning configuration information, such as the new host name, username, password, certificates, keys, etc. This data is passed to the Azure API as Base64 encoded data. On Linux, this data is passed to the virtual machine via the ovf-env XML file, which is copied to the varlib Windows Azure Agent directory during provisioning. Newer versions of the Microsoft Azure Linux Agent will also copy the Base64 encoded data to varlib waagent/customer data as well for convenience. So what about cloud init? What is cloud init? Currently, only the Ubuntu images in Microsoft Azure Gallery have cloud init pre-installed and configured to act on the custom data sent during provisioning. This means that for Ubuntu, you can use custom data to provision a VM using a cloud init configuration file, or just simply send a script that will be executed by cloud init during provisioning. If cloud init is not available on the image, then you can still make use of the custom data provided you pre-install a script or other tool on the system that can read the data. In this case, a script could be installed to run at boot time that can read in the custom data via the varlib waagent ovf environment XML file, decode it and act on the data. Once the script is installed, the Linux image can then be deprovisioned and captured for reuse. So how does it work? As of version 0.7.5 of the command of the Azure cross-platform command line tools, there's a new parameter called custom data. This parameter takes a file name as an argument, and the tools will then Base64 encode the contents of the file and send it along with the provisioning configuration information. The only limit here is that the file must be less than 64 kilobytes or the Azure API will not accept the request. So make sure the file is the size of the file is less than 64 kilobytes. Otherwise, it won't work. And currently, the easiest way to inject custom data into an Azure VM is to use the Microsoft Azure command line tools, the cross-platform CLI. Support for this feature in the Microsoft Azure PowerShell commandlets is not yet available, but it will be coming soon. And let me show you an example. So in this example, the custom data text file could be a cloud init configuration file, or it can even simply be a shell script. So if you provide this information, it will be run during the provisioning of the Linux virtual machine in Azure. If you summarize what we have talked about this in this course. Asia is really the best cloud for running your business from anywhere in the world. There are 19 data centers spread through the world, 19 Asia data centers, and they are all interconnected. The support for Linux and also FreeBSD in Asia is getting stronger every day. Microsoft is investing a lot in open source. It's not just for Linux, for even the languages like PHP, Ruby, Python. Microsoft is investing a lot to make sure that your application, your virtual machine, no matter the platform, can work in Asia. So it's not only Microsoft products. We are really trying to embrace all of the ecosystem. We are really trying to play well with other platforms. And if you have already using a Linux or FreeBSD virtual machine on premises, it's easy to move to Asia. We have covered this in module 2 in the creating a Linux VM and module. So since Azure is also running Hyper-V, you can just upload your virtual machine from your on-premises Hyper-V environment to Azure, or the opposite. You can just download the virtual machine from Azure and start running it on your Hyper-V environment without changing anything. I really like to show the slides. I mean, a couple of years, maybe if I show this slide, people would just laugh at us. But now with Microsoft's continuing investment on open source and Linux especially, now I am really confident to say Microsoft loves Linux. Microsoft loves open source. So hopefully the course is you'll find the course useful to understand how Linux in Asia works and what are the things you can use, like the VM extensions that will ease your life a lot, like resetting the password remotely, running features daemons, installing features on Linux virtual machines remotely, or using Docker and Chef to automate tasks, use containers, and doing things all remotely. I hope the course was a value for you and hope to see you again. Thank you for your time.